This reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in the 1600s and 1700s, wars ravaged Europe, and armies marched through fields and crushed the crops, and famines spread across the land. And so this is a little bit of the backdrop. And the first dozen or so Mennonite families migrated to the U.S. in 1683 and laid out the village of Germantown, north of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And actually, I lived in Philly for about 2 years, and there's like a neighborhood still called Germantown. So it's kind of cool. I always kind of wondered about that. The second wave arrived in 1708, descendants of the Swiss Brethren, who believed that Christians should follow Jesus's simple, non-resistant gospel. And they were being persecuted again after a time of refuge under one ruler. And then the transfer of power happened and the next ruler resumed kind of persecution. And so they were attracted to the promise of religious freedom and farmland. But ironically, we do need to acknowledge that these peace-loving people were ignorant or complicit in the displacement of indigenous Americans as they occupied and farmed Native American homelands. And so we do need to repent for that still as part of our faith process. We were once a plain people, or called a plain people. There's still a great spectrum among contemporary Anabaptists and traditional Anabaptists. And so you know the Amish, our faith relatives, they still wear their traditional dress with the white coverings on their heads and the bonnets, and the men wear hats and beards. And the women tie up their hair and wear the long dresses with the long sleeves that they made. And the men wear trousers and suspenders because I think belts are fancy somehow, or the buckles, I think, are a little fancy. Buttons have been a bit of a controversy, I think. People use hooks and eyes still. The Hutterites have their own dress, and that's something similar. There are conservative Mennonite groups who might do something similar as well and have a little bit of a traditional dress. But I want to focus a little bit more on mainline Mennonite identity because I think we're a little more mainline in here. Mennonites who are much more integrated into the world and the culture. But we still hold fast to our Mennonite identity. So even before this move to America, shunning was a disciplinary practice toward those who the church saw as disobedient to God's vision for a Christian way of life. And shunning meant that people would not talk to those who were under the ban because they had done something. And even today, I think the Amish will still shun people. But this is a means of self-preservation, and this was to keep people close and obedient so they wouldn't kind of pull others away from the faithful lifestyle. But I think in our Mennonite churches now, we don't really shun in this way. But I do think we're called to yield to one another and to practice mutuality. And so this quiet way of keeping appearance kind of translates to a quiet way of being together and listening to each other. There's this scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, and this reading has been very instructive for Mennonites over the years. It says, "Indeed, you do love all the brothers and sisters throughout Macedonia, but we urge you, beloved, to do so more and more, to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands, as we have directed you, so that you may behave properly towards outsiders and be dependent on no one." And so I think this scripture calls us to love, and Mennos have really resonated with the quiet living thing over the years. We have wanted to work hard and let our actions speak for themselves. Working hard is such an important ethic to Mennonites. I don't know where that phrase comes from. Idle hands are the devil's playground. And I don't know if I heard that a lot growing up, but the principle, the concept, I think has been very important. Truly, Mennonites embrace this concept that we want to keep busy with work and not get caught up in the temptations of the world. And so again, there is this theme of how you live your life will speak for itself. You don't have to loudly proclaim your faith. There's a story, too, where there's a door-to-door evangelist, and he comes to the house of the Mennonite farmer guy and asks, "Are you a Christian, sir?" And the farmer says, "Well, you'll have to ask my neighbor if I'm a Christian." So we are told to mind our own affairs in that scripture, not to send anybody to hell. And yeah, I know white people, we're kind of nosy, or some people think we're nosy, so we have to be careful about this. but if we just mind our own affairs, and how can we serve God and be just and be the light of God? How can we stand up for the marginalized and speak truth to power if we just mind our own affairs? But there's a balance. We do have to sit down sometimes. You hear me? I was going to a church as a child where the Mennonite women, they certainly didn't wear the traditional long sleeve homemade dresses like we think of the Amish wearing, but they didn't wear much makeup and they didn't wear much form-fitting clothing or pay too much attention to style, I don't think. It wasn't a rule. It was a culture. And then when new technological advances would come, like the TV in my parents' generation, or even maybe the cell phone, I think people accepted them, but with a little bit more caution and skepticism and discernment than the average American. And so while you still might see less makeup among some modern day regular Mennonites, it's not quite how it was. I mean, my hot pink nails I sometimes wear, haven't gotten too much criticism, though they maybe in some churches people might pause. But where is this this mentality, or what was this? Is it gone, or does it just look different now? The value of plainness and simplicity is, again, a spiritual practice. And so we have to remain humble to stay close to God. And Paul tells us, you know, we ought not to think of ourselves as higher than we ought to, and serve others and deny yourself. So, and we critique the rampant idolatry of materialism and consumerism, but some of us, plenty of Mennonites, seem to live comfortably enough with our cars and our clothes and our savings accounts and 401ks and jewelry and vacations. I mean, it's good to enjoy our lives. And we don't necessarily have to take a vow of poverty, but it is simple to overemphasize the material things of life. But we don't have to wallow in squalor. There's a balance, again, to these things. So we don't want to be enslaved by materialism or by these false gods. The Lord can liberate us from that. And so as we lose some of these practices of old, like preoccupation with oaths and swearing, the practice of shunning, and the waters become murkier around the simple life, what remains to distinguish us from the rest or mark us as followers of God? I mean, maybe we don't have to be distinguished. That's part of it. We don't want to be distinguished. We want to be quiet in the land. But who are we is the question that we're looking at. And so I do call us to return to simple living and to consider simplicity in your life and to give what you have to charitable organizations rather than, you know, things for ourselves. But I think what's happening as the Mennonite church moves through the 21st century is that some of these ideas are moving a little bit. And so maybe we're moving from the concept of simple more to a model of sustainable. That means that at our best, we're caring about locally grown food and invested in water conservation, energy conservation, and concerned with climate change. Or maybe part of what simplicity and humility mean today is what Andrea Sawyer-Kersee calls cultural humility, which means that we are committed as white people to dealing with our racism and listening and reflecting, and it means believing the lived experiences of people of color. They say that, or maybe practicing humility is about comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. Y'all heard that one before? Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Simplicity and humility move from the same place. Because we are dedicated to God in community, we try not to be so obsessed with our individual concerns, appearances, and circumstances. The strong Mennonite value of service also moves from this sense of responsibility to community, loyalty to God, as we decenter ourselves and serve others. And I think Mennonites do this in many ways all over the world. So for example, during our recent national convention in July that I went to, about 1,300 volunteers, that's a third of the attendees, engaged in service projects with over 25 agencies in the greater Kansas City area. And so they were doing things like cleaning up parks and spreading wood chips, and they worked at thrift stores, and they assisted with food programs, trying to build a food secure region and serving people in need of food as waiters and giving them dignity. But this isn't something that Mennonites just do at convention. This is a way of life, as evidenced by the variety of well-developed missional organizations, as well as more local grassroots efforts by individual churches. And when I say missional organizations, that doesn't mean we're going and baptizing everybody. That means going and doing work to join with God's mission. And so just to name a few Mennonite-related organizations, there's Mennonite Central Committee, and they provide resources for relief, food, water, health, education, peace, migration, restorative justice, advocacy, all over the world. And there's Mennonite Mission Network that exists to lead, mobilize, and equip the church to participate in holistic witness to Jesus Christ in a broken world, working from places like South Africa to Venezuela and New Zealand and Congo, doing educational, humanitarian, and peacemaking efforts. There's also an offshoot of that is organization called SOOP, S-O-O-P, Service Opportunities with our partners. And they do things like visit people in ICE detention centers and work on farms in intentional communities. Or there's another one called DOOR, Discovering Opportunities for Outreach and Reflection. And they provide opportunities for service, learning, leadership, and development within the urban context. So there's one in Chicago that they're doing stuff. Mennonite Disaster Service helps communities rebuild and recover after earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, all types of things. There's Mennonite Voluntary Service, MVS, where people volunteer to work in bookstores or do home repair or do digital inclusion work or interpretive services. There's Christian Peacemaker Teams, which isn't exclusively Mennonite, but Mennonite-related, and it turns faith into action for peace and accompanies and supports partners in local peacemaking work in places of high conflict like Palestine, Iraq, Colombia. There's Faith in Place in the Chicagoland area. It's also not explicitly Mennonite, but has some Mennonite connections, which empowers people of faith to be leaders in caring for the earth and provides resources to educate, connect, and advocate for healthier communities. And so the Lord is near in these organizations, and we serve God in these ways. We don't have to remake the wheel, but partner with organizations, Mennonite or not, though we do have good Mennonite options, if I do say so. I didn't make them, but I feel connected. We serve. So in the same way, we kind of move from simplicity to sustainability. Our living, breathing faith moves to adapt a bit to our current condition. Though most of us no longer work the land as farmers, we can remain hardworking. And though communities might not be kind of tight-knit in the same way they used to, we can still show up for each other. Even if we were to open up the communion table, we still baptize adults who make a free confession of faith. Though we might not be so quiet in the land and non-resistant, we can still be peacemakers and speak up for divine justice. We can still challenge the military-industrial complex and critique the way it exploits the poor and uses human lives as pawns with its civilian casualties and PTSD and moral injury and rampant sexism. We still can't critique the some trillion-dollar U.S. arms trade. We can still refuse to bear arms in a country that seems to measure freedom in our ability to stockpile guns. We can still refuse to retaliate when we're harmed. We can still resist religious nationalism. And so when I ask what it means to be Mennonite in the year 2019 in the U.S., well, friends, it's up to us. Who is God calling us to be? Over the past several years, the Mennonite Church actually took on this question of what it means to be Anabaptist in the 21st century in an initiative they called Journey Forward. And these are some of the things that they said. God calls us to be followers of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit to grow as communities of grace, joy, and peace so that God's healing and hope flow through us to the world. We are grounded in the whole story of Jesus, as we live out our faith in radical discipleship to Christ. We are transformed by the Holy Spirit in community as we share our lives as a reflection of the fullness of God's love and welcome all people in diverse communities. And we are empowered to join in God's reconciling work as we extend healing and hope by witnessing to God's vision of shalom for all creation and standing with the marginalized through truth and action. True, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable. And not each of these things individually, but the whole picture, them all working together, is who we are as followers of Christ. And I tell you, I want to be Mennonite, but we don't have a monopoly on the kingdom of God. I like us, but we have issues too. And I'm not into any denominational hierarchies. Whoever is rejoicing in the Lord, whoever is a peacemaker, whoever studies scripture and practices thanksgiving and shares with neighbor and cares for one another, all these things is a faithful follower of God. And so may we be so more and more. May we boast in the Lord and not ourselves. May we serve God and not ourselves.